Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for the blessing to the praise and worship. And Father, I would have loved to play that last song because it would have been like the icing on the cake. But Father God, you're already our icing, and you already did the things you wanted to. And I'm asking you right now, Father, to open up the spiritual ears so that the people can hear what thus saith the Lord. Open our spirit of understanding, Father God, so we understand in all of its fullness what you're trying to show us. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just now hearing God say the church is getting a little bit loopy. You know, the church as a whole. And they're out there doing things that are crazy and that he's not asking them to do. So he's saying, don't you become loopy. You know, make sure that what you're doing is truly what God wants done. All right. We're going to go over an article that I read. Some's mine, but some is hers. I think it was a her. I got it in the back here somewhere. She said, I saw glory angels releasing mantles this past week, and they were being dropped on God's people. They were flying through a portal in heaven to the earth and bringing these mantles right to us so we can begin to get ready for what is coming in the fall season. God's always told me that the glory was going to drop in the fall, so every fall I look for it to drop. But now, once again, the prophets out there, the ones that are really here from God, are saying that something great is going to happen in the fall. All right, so we know that God gave us our mantles, right, a couple services ago. And so what did they say here? These mantles, all right, they were flying through a portal in heaven to the earth and bringing these mantles right to us so we can begin to get ready for what is coming in the fall season. So what is happening is you have your mantle, and God is getting you ready to go ahead and go forth with your giftings in the fall. Now, a pre-promotion time is happening right now in the spirit. The month of Tammuz, which is a fourth month on the Hebrew ecclesiastical calendar and a tenth month on the Hebrew civil calendar, began Sunday, Wednesday, June the 9th, through Sunday, Friday, June the 11th. So that's already happened. God is properly positioning you to receive more from heaven and step into more in the earth. See that? He is properly positioning you. He is revealing more of himself. He is stretching his people and dispersing new mantles and garments, and he has one for you. But I think the majority of us in here have already received our mantle, right? A mantle is a cloak or covering that surrounds you and comes from heaven. It is designed to set you and your anointing apart from others in the kingdom of God. The purpose of this mantle is to bring forth the unique assignment that God has called you to walk in the earth. You are a kingdom citizen, and this mantle helps you operate in God's kingdom, doing his will on the earth. Remember how the word says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I'm going to stop there because Brett shared something with me about when he was in the hospital, his doctor found out he was an author. So he talked to Brett about his books, and he said, I'd like to read those. So he brought him a book. But you know, the very first day that Brett ever walked into my house, God prophesied and told him, you'll never work a secular job, but you will write books, and this is where your income will come from. And now Brett is getting ready. He has a new book that's out, and people have pre-ordered his new book. They want to read more of his stuff. So what I'm saying this for is God, you know, gave you your mantle to write, and now he's positioned you where now people are interested in his writing, and look what God's doing. Do you write on the courtrooms? And you're writing on the courtrooms. So you've got to get your books out there too, because this is a time, and God has told me this is a time that the courtroom message must be put out there. Brett writes in one way about the courtrooms, you write in another way about the courtrooms, and when they cooperate both of them together, everybody will be able to go to the courtroom in the proper procedure. See this, it doesn't matter And there's many people writing on the courtrooms, but God is giving you two, because I've read the other courtroom books too that other people write, he's given you two different strategies because it's for this time in this season. So we can't be dragging our feet any longer. You have your mantle already given to you too, so you're in the right position to do what God's calling you forth to do. And it was prophesied to Alan that he has to do his work now. So this explains to you now, this fall, you're beginning, God's going to start pushing you out there to do the things he's called you forth to do. All right? All right, these mantle assignments. No, where am I at? Remember? Where are we at? A portal has been opened. We read that, right? A portal has been opened, and wisdom is now pouring forth from heaven. You are growing in wisdom and stature in the heavenlies and earth spaces, which will turn into favor with God and man. You know, I talk a lot with Brett and with Aaron, and I've noticed one thing. As they're talking, they have the gifting now where God just starts speaking through them like he does me. And then they just start speaking. I don't know if they really, well, I think you do. I don't know if you do. But you're speaking, you know, God is speaking through. He just takes over your voice and starts speaking through you. And I just, the other day, I just thank God that gifting that he gave me has now been transferred to y'all. All right? So just get excited about the fact that the gifting is there, the gifting is alive, and God is using it. And we don't get jealous of one another, right? I could say, see, that's why Catherine Kuhlman died. Did you know that? She was mad at God because God gave somebody else the same gifting that she had. And God took her out. And she wrote that in her book. That's how I know it. And she got jealous because other people had received a healing ministry. And she didn't want to share her mantle and her gifting. So if you get jealous and you don't want to share your mantle or your gifting, you just might die. Because she died. God took her out. So these mantle assignments are coming forth and things are going to change in your life rapidly. You will be walking in more wisdom, with more wisdom, stature, and favor as you try and understand this new mantle assignment God has for you and how to walk in it properly as we approach the new Hebrew year, New Year 5782 on Rosh Hashanah, which is September the 6th. That's when it's going to start happening, September the 6th, 2021. Why is this preparation time important for you? You are being stretched, and it appears God is inviting you to something new. But you can't quite put your finger on it, Grace. Because Grace keeps wondering, what is God doing to me? So here it is. You are being stretched, and it appears God is inviting you to something new, but you can't quite put your finger on it. It's to wear new garments and to take on new mantle assignments. Okay? This is a time of rejoicing, but also a time of transition. God is calling you to step out in ways that may be difficult or uncomfortable. It's preparation for the real promotion time that will happen in August, right before we step into Rosh Hashanah. That's close. Really close. All right? This new mantle will affect your identity just like it affected Elijah in 1 Kings 19:16. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of whatever, Abel something, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. God said to Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel Mel, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. So Elijah knew his time was up. So God said, this is who's going to take your place. You go and anoint him. To take your place because I'm getting ready to take you. 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah's act of distributing his cloak or mantle changed the course of Elijah's life. Many times when I hug people, I say, God, give them the anointing that's in me. And I never knew what I was doing, but I was transferring. I was giving them an anointing that I had. Do you understand this? Elisha, so don't be stingy with your giftings. You know, Grace could walk up to somebody and just say, you know, hi, how are you? And in her mind, she could be saying, God, give them the gift to praise you with flag and dancing. You know, she'd be transferring her gifting into them. All right. Now, Barbara could be, you know, go up to somebody and, you know, she could say, you know, Jesus really loves you. And she herself says, I'm going to transfer this bullheaded attitude I have into them. That's good. She's bullheaded. I'm bullheaded too, but that's good. You're bullheaded, and you know, some, it might be somebody that's weak natured and, you know, can't stand up for their own stuff. You say, God, give them a backbone, you know, like mine. That's why I always say, be careful who lays hands on you. You really don't know what they're transferring into you. All right. Elisha had to get a mental handle on the exchange. We read in 1 Kings 19, 20, 21, Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. And Elijah says, go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? You know? So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Even though Elijah had already transferred his mantle to Elijah, Elijah didn't get smart with Elijah. He became Elijah's servant until God took him away. And we all know the story there, right? He got a double portion of his anointing. So your mantle will change your life as well, just like it did Elijah. You will have to learn how to walk in the new mantle. Come on. You have to learn how to walk in the new mantle. You will have to learn to walk away from old things, even good things, to take on the new, which is better but unfamiliar. What did God tell me? Don't want what you have, because I have something so much better for you. So my new mantle is so much better than the mantle I used to carry. Same goes to some of you in here. God's going to change you. And I think he even said something to some of you that he was giving you a new mantle. And accept that new mantle because it's so much better. So he says, so to take on the new, which is better, but unfamiliar. You may have to say goodbye to ways you used to do things. You may have to say goodbye to the way you used to do things, or even certain relationships of the past, because a new is on the horizon. You have just changed your clothes when you put on a new mantle. It is like wearing a tuxedo when you are used to wearing jeans. That is going to take a mind shift for a while. You don't have as long as I had to get a mind shift. You just have to start receiving it. However, God will grow you in wisdom, stature, and favor with him and a man on the earth, and you will be able to carry this mantle well by Rosh Hashanah, which occurs on September the 6th. Then you will be running with your tuxedo on and not your blue jeans. All right. Over the next 3 months, shift your mind to the Word of God. You will see that the eternal time frame has already been shifted, because we are in the latter months of the spring rains, which happen in the Hebrew months of Tammuz, Av, and Ul. And that is why these mantles are coming forth. Now remember, we're a forerunner church, so we received our mantles already. All right? God is giving you a little taste now so you can be ready for the bigger promotion in the fall. Some of you have had a little taste of the difference of God, the way God's using you. And it says here, so you can be ready for the bigger promotion in the fall. Today, purpose to position yourself on a strong foundation and be ready to receive great things from the Lord. Who is God going to drop these new mantles on? What does the word tell us? In Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is who God's given these mantle to. In Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The phrase walk in love expresses our entire relationship with God and mankind in Matthew 22:37-40. And Jesus replied to him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, or your intellect. This is a great, most important principle and first commandment. And his second is like it. You should love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. Paul says in Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. You have to be a follower of God as dear children. Quit thinking you're all full grown in Christ when you're still, still trying to walk close to him. Who will not enter heaven? Revelation, or receive these mantles. Revelation 21:27, nothing unclean will ever enter the city. No one who does shameful things or tells lies will ever enter the city. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter the city. Then Matthew 7:21 tells us, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter God's kingdom. The only people who will enter are those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that last day, many will call me Lord, and they will say, Lord, Lord, by the power of your name, we spoke for God, and by your name, we forced out demons. It did many miracles. Then I will tell those people clearly, get away from me, you people who do wrong. I never knew you. So God's been calling us for holiness for years. So if you're not walking in holiness, your new mantle is not going to do you any good. All right. And Galatians 5:19-21 says, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. I'm going to look up the word debauchery, and it means a drunkard. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not receive a mantle. Everyone thinks they can live any way they want to and never count the cost. And Luke 14:28 says, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. Counting the cost means recognizing and agreeing to some terms first. In following Christ, we cannot simply follow our own inclinations. We cannot follow him in the world's way at the same time. In Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So very few are going to find this gate into heaven. One time when I first started, I was prophesying over my praise and worship leader. And God said, wide is the gate that enters into heaven. And I knew that wasn't in the word. So I asked him about it afterwards. And he said, daughter, once you enter through the narrow gate, then everything is open, wide open for you. All of heaven is there for you. And this is what he was telling her. If you'll just go ahead and enter in, then you're in the gate, the heaven's open for you in all of its blessings. So once we do what we're supposed to do and enter through the narrow gate, then all of heaven is at our disposal. But we have to get through the gate first. The cost of discipleship in Luke 14:25. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the others is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. And, you know, when I was first born again, I didn't know what he meant when he said, count the cost. And I read these scriptures. I didn't know what he was talking about. Then one day when I was fussing, he says, see, you didn't count the cost. Then I knew what he was saying. When we open our mouth and say, here I am, Lord, use me, we never once asked God what it was going to cost us for him to use us. Did we? No. And then as we went down the road and all this junk came after us, we got all excited and said, God, what is going on in our life? And God says, this is what you get when you say, use me. You did not count the cost. You did not say, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to be spit upon. You know, we didn't say that. We just got all excited. I'm saying we because I know you're all just like I am. You just heard that statement. It sounded excited, didn't it? You wanted to be used by God. And you never once knew what you were going to go through after you said those words. But we found out, didn't we? And a lot of things we didn't like, did we? All right, people sit in the house of God and think just because they speak in tongues, God is blessing them. All tongues are not of the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be changed. You will walk in humility and you will not want to be seen. And that is the absolute truth. A lot of people have not had an experience and an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's why they're still carrying around last year's sin. You haven't really been dunked in the Holy Spirit, and you need to get the Holy Spirit infilling so that you can fight the demonic forces of darkness that keep coming against you. And woe unto those who are walking in self-deception. A lot of people walk in self-deception in the body of Christ. In Romans 11:29 says, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. I put that scripture down because when I was first born again, I went to this prayer meeting and I thought these people were the most godly people in the world. So I found out that they were perverted. But all the gifts were in operation. The healing, everything was in operation. And I said, God, how can this be? Once God gives you a gift, he never takes it away from you. Even if you walk away from him, you could work in signs, wonders, and miracles. You could work in healings. But that doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. God never, this is what the scripture's saying, and this is what God explained to me. When he gives you gifts, it's yours. He does not take it back. So if you're out there still, in your old sin and God's using you and you think you're fine, you're not. You're really not. And you need to be walking in purity and holiness in order for your mantle that God has placed upon you. Because the Word of God says what? Many are called, but few are chosen. You could have received a mantle, but will it ever work? I don't know. That's between you and God. All right. This church should never be walking in self-deception because God has taught us so much. And he's brought us so far. And you have to understand, I was dumb when I was born again. I really was. I didn't understand nothing. And God said, the Holy Spirit will teach you. I don't want man to teach you nothing. I don't want you full of doctrine. And so that's how I learned. I learned through the Holy Spirit as I walked it out. So you see, if you really have the Holy Spirit in you, if you're really baptized in the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit's going to be with you with every step of the way. And he's going to tell you, don't go this way, don't go that way. And he'll start explaining why different things are going on in your life. So charity, that's why I said one time, I've said it many times, when God withdrew his Holy Spirit for a season, that was the most dry time in my life. And the only time I felt the Spirit of God, because I did something I shouldn't have done, I was disobedient to God, and he told me not to do something. I said, I'm going to do it if I want to, and I did. And for a whole year, he let me go ahead and walk in that dry spell. It's the worst time of my life. I never want to be without the Holy Spirit. If you really are familiar with the Holy Spirit and really know what it's like to walk with the Holy Spirit, you'll never want to grieve him ever, because you won't want to walk in that dryness. And tonight, really, I feel like what God wants to do with us here is that if you feel like you are dry and you feel like the Spirit of God really is not, you know, indwelling richly in you like it ought, that if you come up, God really wants to give you a touch and infill you with the Holy Spirit so that you know that you are born again and you're a true child of God. And God is using you in the ways that he so desires. See, when I was born again as a young child, I didn't know what happened to me. The pastor didn't know what happened to me. They didn't teach on it. But now I know that we become, and then from that point on, God always protected me. I should be dead over many, many times, but God was always with me and he was always protecting me. Why? Because I was truly baptized into the Spirit and God's angels were constantly watching over me. Like I said this morning, Brother Adam had a true infilling in Florida there when he said he cried for, most people that I read about cry for 3 days. They just can't quit crying. And Brother Adam had that experience in. And then he started walking out of salvation. From that day on, he started walking out of salvation. And God put him in different places where he could be taught more and grow more. And right now, when he emails me, it totally amazes me with the knowledge this young man has. Great knowledge he has. And he knows his word. But see, God had to lead him where he could be taught and where he could be free from his past sins. And now God's using him mightily. That's why he can love his wife the way he does. Because he has the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he can love when they're unlovable. And I'm not saying his wife's not unlovable. But I'm saying even when she does some dumb things, he continues to love her. Because it's Christ loving her through him. All right? And that's just how it works, guys. And I really want each one of you to know what it's like to live constantly with the Holy Spirit leading on and directing you every second of every day. And, you know, really another thing you need to know, like Nancy and I was talking, she had her children up swimming the other day, and she's, boy, feel the Holy Spirit on that, you know. Then I would say, boy, I feel the Holy Spirit on that. So, you know, the Holy Spirit witnesses to you back and forth that that's really him that's talking. And how many of you really know that? How many of you, when you're talking, you all of a sudden, all your hair and your body starts standing on end, and it just something comes into the room and you know that the Holy Spirit is there witnessing to you that this is God. You're going to have to know this kind of stuff if you're going to lead other people. You just really are. And, you know, just like Sister Barbara, in your Women's Aglow, I know that God wants to turn Women's Aglow into nothing but a glory meeting. When the people come, you know, they just get touched by God and they're changed and rearranged. And when I was out on the road and I was doing the Women's Aglow, when I went, the place was packed out because they knew that I brought the glory with me. And they afterwards, someone would come and talk to me and cry and say, I'm so glad I came to see you today because God really touched me. Not through the word, but God really, you know, the anointing that you carry touches the people. And I used to didn't want to be recognized for that kind of stuff, but really that was false humility. All right, so I carried the anointing, and I would say, no, I don't, but I really did, because I didn't understand. But I want you to understand, you do carry the anointing, and it's not to puff you up or blow you up. It's to minister to other people. All right. And you have to understand, too, whenever you're walking and you're anointed in with the Holy Spirit like that, God speaks the truth through you when you really wish to just be quiet. Because he used to use me all the time when I was going out ministering and the pastor would show up. He would tell them right where they were at. And they didn't they didn't like that. But see, they should have liked that because then they go, okay, I'm not right here. I've got to get this right if I'm going to go on with God. All right. And I used to go to that one Women's Aglow, and I'd always tell the pastor, I knew he was the pastor, but he always ran a sound booth when I was there. You have more anointing than the pastor of the church does. And I said, I don't know why I keep telling you that because you're the pastor. Well, lo and behold, a couple years later, he left that church. Somebody else was the pastor, but he stayed with the church doing something. And so that's when this prophecy come into effect. The pastor that took over wasn't anointed as much as what the pastor who left was. And now he's going around ministering to other churches. But, you know, and I would say to him, I am so sorry I keep saying that to you because I know you're the pastor. That's all right. He'd laugh. He said, God's going to reveal it somewhere down the line. And that's what that was all about. So I'm saying that to say, all right, it says, you're saying, Holy Spirit, work through me, talk through me, you know. Then you have to let him use your voice and say, and let him say whatever he wants to say, because God knows all things. And it might not be happening right then and there, but it's going to take place somewhere at some time. All right, so if you want a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, if you come forward, God promised me that he would touch you tonight.